There's a governor's race in West Virginia. Gaston Caperton, a Democrat, has served 2 terms, and that's the limit, so Charlotte Pritt is running for the Democrats. She's 47, been a school teacher, spent 12 years in the state assembly. The Republican is Cecil Underwood. He is 73. He's been the governor once, back in the late 50s, a business leader. It's a name West Virginians know well.
He has got a good education background. He's got a good business background. He's got an impeccable character. He is a very honest and a tireless worker. So I believe that when you take a look at what's best for West Virginia for the next 4 years, and West Virginia's made some real progress in economic development outside of the coal industry and timber industry, I believe that he's the man that will do that better than she will.
That's Merville Perry. He runs a medical supply company. He is a Democrat, but will vote for Cecil Underwood. The Charleston Gazette, a Democratic paper, ran an editorial saying the Republican nominee was the better choice. The Gazette worries about Charlotte Pritt's ties to the labor unions. Wendy Sims, a Democrat whose husband is running for a county attorney's job, sees a victory for Charlotte Pritt, pushed by the young voters.
She's been divorced. She's been out there, you know. She's been, you know, a working woman on her own, and that's just closer to, you know, the younger generation's feelings, where Mr. Underwood, you know, really hasn't dealt with any of the issues and problems that she's had to deal with just in living day to day. And young kids can relate to that. There's a lot of single mothers out there, and children have grown up in a lot of single parent households, and they relate more to women nowadays than they do to men, especially older men.
Here's the way the numbers work. Democrats outnumber Republicans in West Virginia by more than 2-1. Charlotte Pritt has the liberal Democrats, but may not convince the conservative faction of the party. And while some think it's a plus to be a woman running for governor, Jack Steele, a retired coal miner, another Democrat, has a different belief.
I'm a born-again Christian. I would never vote for a woman for president, for vice president, or governor of this state. And I'm not against Charlotte Pritt. I've been to her speeches, I've heard her talk, but my belief in the Bible, the Word of God.
Tells you that a woman shouldn't have those offices?
Well, the woman is supposed to be the head of the helpmate, the head of the household, and so forth. Right. And I told my wife, if you run, I wouldn't vote for you. That's what I told her.
So who are you going to vote for?
I'm not going to vote for neither one of them.
We are talking with people in Logan County, and we come because of this question. What does it mean, really, when we say politics? It could be what happens in the echoing halls of Congress, or it could be what affects everyday life in the valleys of West Virginia.
I was born and raised in the head of Cow Creek. When I was just a kid, nobody had any way out of Cow Creek. You got your mail maybe once a month. I used to peddle with my grandmother. She'd ride out of Cow Creek and bring her eggs and say, put them in a big basket and set them up in front of her and the mule. And she rode a horse and we'd lead a mule, and maybe I'd put me on the mule, I'd make him go, and we'd pedal out of Cow Creek. Very seldom you ever had a wagon. If you had a wagon, the old man Victor Curry had a wagon, and he'd come out and go to Logan maybe once or twice a year, and he'd load up with salt and stuff like that, and he'd distribute it back up the creek.
How far away was Logan?
Well, from the head of Cow Creek to Logan, it's about 16, 17 miles. Okay. Then when I got up into politics, I said, it'd be nice now if I could do something about this. So I got busy through my political way, and knowing the governor, knowing the Senate, knowing what I knew about it, I got busy and I got money to build this road.
The train whistles through the autumn hills of Logan County tell the recent history of the southwestern part of the state. You can count 97 cars full of coal rolling slowly through the town of Logan. The timber and the coal mines have fueled and controlled Logan County politics for decades. Before that, it was family politics. Look in the phone book and you'll find 400 Hatfields in the county now. This was home to the Hatfield clan, and it was the killing of a Hatfield by 3 McCoys on Election Day in 1882 that really started the feud. In the early 1920s in Logan County, when the coal mines were booming. A sheriff ran things with money from the coal operators and more than 100 deputies who actually fought a battle, the Battle of Blair Mountain, against the miners who wanted a union. Raymond Chafin, who was telling the story about Cow Creek, was born to this, hearing all the stories from his father and his cousins. It was his faction of Democrats he was to be concerned about, and it became his life. Who would be sheriff? Who would get the jobs driving the school bus? The Chafin people would put up the posters, get voters into the precincts on election day, tell them how to vote, even reach over and do it for them. It was the machine operating. The laws have changed things now. Most of the game is over. A campaign worker can't get to within 300 feet of a polling place. But Raymond Chafin liked it the way it was.
Election day, in my day, in the best days, was like Christmas. People looked forward to election. People just swarmed out to vote. You just have all kinds of people out to vote. They'd have a Winnie roast, picnic or something, have anything you wanted to eat, had good moonshine. People trade cars, trade horses, and they had a good day. People would come in here from different parts of wherever they was to vote. Back in the old days, most time, people didn't care who knew how they voted. When boat vine was going on, people say, hey, I want $5. I've seen that, a pint of whiskey, half pint of whiskey, whatever it is.
Now, do you think, what is your feeling, Mr. Chafin, about has that sort of politics been good for Logan County and the people here over the decades? Has it been a good thing or a bad thing, do you think?
I think the old days were the best because you could get people out to vote, and the people that really needed it got the money. They could help pay their telephone bill. They could help pay their light bill or maybe get them a load of coal. There's a lot of things they could do with that money. Now it all goes to TV and advertisement.
In the town of Logan, dusty brick buildings, narrow streets, 4,500 people, a block away from the train tracks, sits the building where government lives, the county courthouse. The old limestone building with the white columns out front has been replaced by gray marble and steel, and people thank President Kennedy for the new courthouse. Raymond Chafin was county clerk when it was built. He has had and lost several county and state jobs, depending on who was in office. Chafin worked every election since 1936. Sometimes his faction would win, sometimes not. But his proudest day came in May of 1960, when John F. Kennedy won the primary in West Virginia, winning big in the southern part of the state. Kennedy had been expected to lose to Hubert Humphrey.
Within 72 hours, the most highly publicized presidential primary in West Virginia history heads for a decision by the voters. This could well be Hubert Humphrey's last stand. Defeated in Wisconsin, Humphrey has said that another loss would effectively knock him out of the contention.
State of the Union, there are about 250,000 people in West Virginia on surplus food. What I think the most significant thing is that most of these people have been put out of work because machines have taken their place. What's happened in West Virginia is going to happen in many states of the Union unless the federal government begins to recognize.
The first time that I saw him and really talked to him, I'd seen him in different places. But the first time I saw him, he had a handshake, my opinion, kind of like these preachers do these people when they go to hypnotize them. So he hypnotized me or something.
Raymond Chafin changed his mind in this election. He had taken $2,000 of Humphrey's money to help turn out the vote. But some coal operators came to like Kennedy, and then Chafin listened to Kennedy's promises for the county. The only question left then was money.
This man was sent in here by Kennedy. He said to me, he said, how much money did they give you? I said, $2,000. He said, will you send that money back to them? You send that money back to them. And what would it take? I just said, well, if I'm going to send that $2,000 back, I think you all ought to give me $3,500. And I was talking about $3,500. So when the money came in by plane, came in up at the little airport, when I got to the hotel and opened it up, it was $35,000. And it was money that had never been, when you separated, ink was still on it. So I called them and said, you all have made a mistake. You sent me too much money. I've never seen this much money in my life. They said, hell, we know you'll spend it, keep it, spend it. And I did.
In January of 1961, Raymond Chafin says he got a call from Washington. He bought a new suit and went to the White House to talk with President Kennedy. And one result, according to Chafin, was the food stamp program, allowing poor people to shop in the grocery stores. Mr. Chafin is now 79 years old, retired, but he says his phone is still ringing these days, people asking for advice about the election and the governor's race between Charlotte Pritt and Cecil Underwood.
We have Democrats for Underwood organized in 38 counties across the state. And that's what I think it will take to win the election. Democrats, Republicans, independents,
all working together. What you need here in Southern West Virginia may not be the same thing they need in the Northern Panhandle or what they need in Central West Virginia. And I want to listen carefully and work with you to make sure that we make...
Charlotte Pritt and Cecil Underwood campaigning for governor in Logan County. Denise Giardina is a West Virginia novelist. She's written about the politics in the coal field counties, and she believes the political machines have not been good for the state.
We don't have nearly the strong tradition we should have of politics making a difference in people's lives. I think because for so many years, and I think this is changing, but I think for so many years we've had the largest industry in the state, which is the coal industry, basically pulling the strings. And so politics in the state was never a means of empowering people or involving people in any kind of democratic process for a long, long time. I think that still, that legacy is still felt, unfortunately, in the state.
Chuck Smith teaches political science at West Virginia State College. He says the machines still operate to some extent, and on a local level, they are helping people.
There is not a state machine. It's a local phenomenon. And machine politics is very much the old, to the victor goes the spoils. And they're winning at the local level is what they're interested in. And of course, they're using the money that comes from the national and state level to try and do that. And at that level, it's patronage politics. And so the people who supported the machine or are part of the machine benefit greatly, but also the communities that those machines promise things to benefit. I mean, more in the old days than now, but schools, bridges, improvements, civic improvements like that occurred and were promised and were paid off by the machine politicians when they won.
In Logan County, you will find 11 Democrats for every one Republican. And it's expected that Charlotte Pritt will easily carry Logan. There are 54 other counties in West Virginia.